It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. When it comes to the experience of eating out, everyone has their likes and dislikes.
Ann Christensen eats out a lot in her work as dining critic for Milwaukee Magazine, so it would follow that there are things that she encounters time and time again that frustrate, exasperate, or just puzzle her.
Well, Lake Effect's Dan Harmon has some thoughts on the subject as well. Christensen, who is also our regular dining contributor, notes that Esquire magazine recently checked in with a list of its top food complaints of 2014, and it includes a reference to Milwaukee.
Well, they thought, or they think, we've gone too far with the Bloody Mary. And Sobelman's, if you may or may not know, this was in the news, nationally in the news recently, because of the Bloody Beast. That was a giant Bloody Mary with a fried chicken, among other things.
Yeah, I remember that.
Huge. I mean, this thing was like $50. They didn't make that many of them. They were only doing them as a special thing. First of all, they started it out, I think, as just kind of a joke on Facebook. And then people started demanding this thing. So they started making it. But they are also known, though, for having a lot of different accoutrements. So Esquire is saying, we have gone too far. I think pretty much everyone in Milwaukee would say that is not true. We have not gone far enough.
Well, you know, hey, why not take credit for it then? Milwaukee is pushing the boundary of something rather than being accused of being behind the times.
There you go. And you know what? I got to mention in Esquire.
Good. So it worked.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Do they have any other gripes about Milwaukee, or is that it?
No, that was okay. The only one that was – and it wasn't specifically – I mean, they pointed out that Milwaukee is one – has a bar that is serving these Bloody Marys that are really over the top. You know, they were saying in general Bloody Marys have just gone too far.
Okay.
But –
Well, what do you think has gone over the top in Milwaukee as far as restaurant experiences?
I'm getting it's so funny because, you know, trends are there's always going to be trends. Like in everything else, there are going to be trends. And there becomes a point where it becomes a little bit like, wow, I'm just hearing that one over and over again. I think that terminology is what I start to get tired of. I think, by all means, restaurants that are using seasonal ingredients, that are using farms, Wisconsin farms, that are using products that come from, I don't know, not very far away, mere miles. That just makes sense to me. That seems like that's the way you should cook. But now, you know, I guess it's like dining buzzwords. I can't stand them. You know, I've gone off on people who know me know I dislike the word foodie. I really dislike it. I just think it's silly. And terms just start to really bother me.
The term for, well, farm to table, do you think that counts?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's, then it gets to a point, well, what do you call it? Cooking. Maybe everybody should just cook like that.
Well, what about the use of the word protein?
Well, that again came from Esquire, and
okay.
they just think it's silly, right? I mean, they just think it's silly to, you know, point out on your menu it's not, you know, instead of saying, you know, these are the dishes that, I don't know, maybe somebody might call them entrees, they might call them, I don't know, another place might say meat, you know, they might say main or something like this to signify main courses or something. Some restaurants might do protein, so. And that would be to signify anything, you know, a meat or a fish, really.
Or implying that it's more a more substantial dish or well-rounded dish because of that.
Right. Okay. Or, I guess it almost implies that's all you're getting is a protein, really. Like a big, you know, pile of beef or something, or chicken.
Or a pile of beans, maybe.
Oh, could be a pile of beans, right? It could be a pile of eggs.
Yeah, it's kind of vague.
It's a little vague. Maybe it's a little pretentious. It's a little silly. I don't know. I told you this before we were on the air that I have used it in copy because I've seen it used on menus to describe things. So I've used it. It's out there. But I think part of it is I think there's a lot of people, a lot of chefs that are kind of tired of that old kind of way of setting up a menu, of organizing a menu where you have appetizers, entrees, desserts. You know, and I think they're trying to do something. I think it's the attempt to do something a little bit different.
Well, we're talking about some things that are, you know, sort of annoying us. So something that really bugs me, and I'm just going to sound like an old person now, I realize, but I'm getting tired of the term mixologist or the phrase craft cocktails. I mean, as someone who likes a cocktail, why does it have to be a craft cocktail? Why market it that way? To me, it seems like a ruse to get you to pay $12 for a cocktail rather than $7.
Right. Oh, I'm with you on that one. Absolutely. And I would add artisan ingredients artisanal or artesian, as in, you know, but that's reserved for artesian spring water, but it's actually spelled wrong. And then it's artesian. I like that one. I'm being completely facetious. So I think there's, I guess mixologist, I'm wondering, is it people got tired of using the term bartender? That seems derogatory. It's not, it doesn't encompass what they actually do. I'm curious.
Yeah,
I'm just
really
curious where
know.
It came from.
Well, what else is on your mind as far as things you think have gone a little too far, perhaps?
Well, I'm gonna go back to Esquire for a minute because they think that ramenization has peaked. Ramenization referring to ramen noodles, that craze. And I think it's partly because some chefs and some cooks are doing, I don't know if you, I look at blogs and food sites and things like this where, you know, someone might have a ramen burger between two sheets or two, like the bun is made of ramen noodles, you know. You've got people that are doing all these crazy things because they want to one-up somebody else. But in terms of serving ramen, isn't like there's a lot of it here. I mean, this is a broad generalization. I would not think this does not define Milwaukee in any sense because it's difficult to find. I mean, if you want to find really good ramen, you have to do late night ramen at Ardent, you know, really authentic ramen. Mm-hmm. And that's two nights a week, you know, it's that there's your late night food right there. But I don't know about you, but I don't find that one to be applicable. But I would say, you know, if we talk about complaints or gripes, you know, someone mentioned to me that they can't really find a diner anymore, like a good diner.
Mm.
And it's been replaced, again, I'm quoting this person, by coffee shops that serve $12 sandwiches.
That's true.
Yeah, could be.
Or they've been replaced by the Greek style, the Greek family restaurant. Yeah.
And a good diner, you know, it's hard to find here.
That's
but
true.
I like a good diner.
I just want to get your opinion. You mentioned it obliquely, but the whole idea of online reviews or Yelp, you know, what effect do you think this is probably a whole other subject we can talk about someday, but the effects that this is having on the industry when people go and complain about restaurants online.
Oh, God. Do you mean what effect is it having on the restaurants themselves?
Yeah.
I think it's, I think it's muddying the waters. It's making things, well, first of all, you know, the thing with those Yelp reviews is that you don't really know who the people are who are commenting, you know. Are they, if it's a complaint, is it someone who had worked at the restaurant and was fired and has an axe to grind? Who is the source of that complaint? And sometimes you'll have chefs or restaurant owners that'll come back and they will respond, and there can be some really caustic responses to a maybe very caustic post. I don't know that it's really helping. I don't know that it helps the industry at all. It's a whole other interview, Dan.
I'm saying, it's something that I'm not happy with because, for example, if I want to get information about a restaurant that I've never been to and I just want to get some information about it, it's really difficult to do that without getting sucked into someone's gripe fest about the restaurant. And you can't really get, unless you're reading a critic's review of a restaurant, you can't really get something that's a little more measured about the restaurant, it seems. So the sites, and not just Yelp, but any site you go to now, half of it is people grousing and griping about the restaurant, and you're left wondering, well, what is it really like?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess the only way to find out is to go.
It's kind of baffling. And, you know, there have been stories about, maybe restaurant owners that say, I'll give you a free meal or I'll give you a discount on something if you go in and give me a great Yelp review. You know, I mean, there's those types of things that go on. So I don't know. I think it's a really dicey discussion.
Okay. We'll have that dicey discussion someday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Something that I went out with a dining companion the last weekend, and it was at a non-trendy restaurant. I won't name it. And we had a really good time, except for this group of loud 20-somethings who were celebrating something. But other than that, you know, it just made me think about how dining used to be, even just like 15 years ago, where you went out to eat at a restaurant and it wasn't an experience. You know, I'm air quoting here. It was just going out for food. Now it seems every new place that opens up, they're so focused on the experience of the dining that it's almost like a theater production. Like you can't just go out and have a meal, that you have to get sucked into this whole thing.
I don't know. For many years, I've heard, and you will have heard, there's analogies made between dining experiences and the theater, front of the house, back of the house. I mean, this terminology is used in concert with theater. So, you know, that isn't anything new. But if you're talking, are you talking a really pretentious type of experience?
I'm not sure what you mean. Not necessarily pretentious, but it just seems like some new places. Go to a new restaurant in Bayview or Walker's Point that we talked about last time, and it just seems like it's almost like this, like you can't just go in and relax. You know, they have to feel like they have to really up their game, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But it ends up being sort of oppressive. You know, you can't just go have a conversation and just, you know, and it's not like the servers and the restaurants in the background anymore. You know, like it's almost like you're going there because you want to go to this restaurant rather than you want to go and just have a good time with your dining companions.
Mm-hmm. I think I know a little bit what you mean.
Okay.
I mean, what that made me think of was a recent place that I had been in. I'm not going to be able to tell you what that is, but within, I would say, maybe 45 minutes, an hour, the owners, and there are two different owners, were at the table, every table, about five or six times. And then the server was at the table like maybe 10 times. But I mean, every time you would start to say something to whoever you were with or take a bite of something, they were right there asking you something.
That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, that was too much. I mean, there's definitely this, you know, there's a line there that I think it becomes too much. Okay, so I wasn't sure that's what you were getting at, but that certainly is it's annoying, and it's obtrusive. You know, I mean, that's a dining experience you don't want to have. You want to have some measure of privacy, and you can have a conversation, and it's not too like this person's in my face all the time.
Well, I'm trying to say it without sounding mean, because it's
simply,
up their game.
And it's simply an observation. I think, you know what, I honestly think there's so much, I mean, there's so much competition out there, and obviously every place wants to succeed. And so the owner's going to be like, I'm just going to give this everything I've got, and I'm going to be so involved, and I want everybody to know that I am, and I want to know how they're doing, and I want them to tell me how I'm doing at every moment. Maybe there just is a little bit of lack of knowledge of subtlety and kind of having up a certain pace or a protocol to follow, that's a little bit too much. And that, I think, can come from someone, maybe people that have never been in the business before. It's new to them.
All
or
right.
this sense of intimidation because there's so much competition. They just feel like they don't know how to handle it.
Just as a diner, I sometimes feel like they're putting on a show.
Yeah.
And I have to then play along as opposed to just,
I
want to go out and eat. Well, yeah, I sort of feel like I have to switch my mindset, you know, when a restaurant is acting a certain way.
Right.
Rather than making the customer the star of the show, you know, they feel like they are.
I do think that we probably couldn't, you know, we might not ever run out of fodder for this kind of discussion.
Well, I'm sure we'll come up with another pile of complaints in the future. All right. Well, next interview, we'll talk about some more positive stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Ann Christensen is senior editor and dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine and a regular Lake Effect contributor. She spoke with Dan Harmon.
We'll take one last break and then return with part three of our week-long series that takes us behind the scenes with the next generation of professional ballet dancers. Stay tuned. Lake Effect will be right back on WUWM.